Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing I've learned in life is that it oftentimes takes three perspectives to really figure out what exactly has happened. Maybe you've realized that as well in your life. I realized that very specifically in an event a couple years ago. I was in the Safeway parking lot on 53rd and Philomath Boulevard in Corvallis, probably a place you've been to, and I was in a rush to get groceries. My wife had one of those honey-do lists. Go to the grocery store, get groceries. We got to pack up the kids' lunches for tomorrow, and you better be back in 15 minutes. It was one of those trips to the grocery store. Maybe you remember these. And so I went to the grocery store, hurriedly had my, you know, groceries in hand, packed arms full of the groceries, got to my little car, put the groceries inside, packed them into the back seat, and pretty much put the pedal to the metal, as they say. Backed up out of my parking lot space, right into another car. Now, in that moment, it really took three perspectives to really figure out what had happened and for the truth to really come out. Now, perspective number one was my perspective. I was the driver of one of the cars. From my perspective, it was totally my fault. I knew that I was rushing. In fact, I was pretty much ready to blame my wife when I got home and tell her, it was your fault. And I knew that I had not turned my neck like I normally do when I back out. I just really checked the mirror and just kind of quickly backed up. And so as I was getting out of the car, I remember thinking, wow, I better get my license and registration ready and just hand it over and just say, yep, it's my fault, not even argue. That was one perspective. That was my perspective. Perspective number two, the other driver. They also thought it was my fault. And they were pretty angry. And they were pretty much pointing a finger at me as they got out of the car. And the one thing I remember, I don't remember any of the words that they said, but I'll tell you the one thing I remember. I remember the nostrils were flaring. I can remember that. And she was very surprised before she even got an argument. Really, her argument developed. I just pretty much said, it was my fault. Here's my license and registration. It was pretty simple. That's when the third perspective came into play. Someone who wasn't in either car, but who was watching the entire development from about 50 feet away. And that third perspective changed everything. As we were going back and forth, and as I was admitting complete fault, this third person walked right in. I'll never forget it because it really changed things. She said, you're both at fault. I saw the whole thing, she said. And with that, the two of us looked at each other. Then we walked over to the scratch that was on the cars. We shook hands and just pretty much walked away. It really wasn't much of a scratch. Maybe you've been a similar situation like that. And what I learned in that moment is that it really took three perspectives to really bring the truth home. This is a special Lent journey that we're taking this year. I'm really excited to be here. And by the way, I send you greetings from your saints, from your fellow saints at Peace Lutheran Church. You're very dear to them. I feel like our two churches kind of have and not just Pastor Larry and me, but I feel like our churches, you know, kind of get along and we like you quite a bit. So it's just nice to journey through the season of Lent. But it's also special this Lent because we're taking a look at Jesus' passion from a whole bunch of perspectives. A lot of different Lutheran pastors are going to share different perspectives. These are the ones that we're going to hear from, just to remind you and get you ready for what you're going to hear. We're going to hear from Judas' perspective, from Peter's perspective, the scribes' perspective, Pontius Pilate, the Jewish crowd, and the Roman soldier. Those six, I think there's six total. Now, tonight's a little different because I'm going to unpack three perspectives of what Jesus' crucifixion meant. From the Father's perspective, the Son's perspective, and the Holy Spirit's perspective. Three perspectives. Without taking a look at Jesus' crucifixion and what happened on the cross, we might come to the conclusion that actually what happened on the cross was just an accident. After all, the charge against him that he was the king of the Jews, it was just something that was brought up out of nowhere. There wasn't a lot of thought to it. They just kind of threw it out there. Oh, yep, he's the king of the Jews. That's what we're going to charge him with. And then the trial on Thursday night that popped up out of nowhere, it really did. By the way, it was a false trial. According to the Roman courts, you couldn't have a trial within a 24-hour period. But that's what happened. We know that when Jesus was betrayed on Thursday night, to the time that he died on the cross, a trial took place. Without the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's perspective of what's happened, we might come to the conclusion that this all was an accident. Agony, pain, surely there wasn't any purpose behind it. But friends, when you take to heart the three perspectives, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see that there was a purpose behind Jesus' death on the cross. We find out that it was no accident at all. All right, perspective number one, Father's perspective. What do you think the Father's perspective was looking down, seeing his Son die on the cross? Any thoughts on that? A father looking down on his son dying. Pretty horrifying, right? Heartbreaking, grief is your thought. Downstairs, right before service, I was sharing with everyone that I participated in a funeral service last month it was a joint service at Suburban Christian Church with Pastor Mike King and a friend that I walked through ALS with over the last 4 years died. Right in January, the funeral was maybe a couple weeks ago. And the journey, Paul's journey through ALS, it's a terrible disease. I walked it through with him as far as losing taste. Then he lost the ability to walk. Then his lungs really couldn't take in oxygen. It was absolutely terrible. But the one thing that has stuck out to me about his journey was what happened at the funeral service. He died at 60 years old. His father got up, and his father said this. With downcast face, he said, "A father should never have to live and see his son die," is what he said. I don't know if any of you had the experience of seeing a child die, but it's one of the toughest things. A parent just shouldn't have to do that. It was tough. And I knew at that moment that father was crushed. And so when we think of the father's perspective of seeing his son die on the cross, we do think heartbreaking. We think grief. Friends, that's not God's perspective, the scriptures say. It actually says, God looked at his son's death on the cross with Jesus and had a satisfied look because he knew that his plan to offer salvation for all people was being manifested, was being put in place. When he looked down and saw Jesus on the cross, the Father was saying, "Wow, I get to bring more people into my kingdom." Satisfaction. That's the Father's perspective. And that's perspective number one. Perspective number two is this, the Son's perspective. Now think of Jesus on the cross, blood, sweat, tears, stricken, smitten, and afflicted is what we read from Isaiah tonight. What do you think the perspective of Jesus was on the cross? What was his perspective of everything that was going on? We might think abandonment. That'd be a fair guess. Remember, all his disciples pretty much left him on the cross. He was all there alone. They all skedaddled, went off to make plans. Whoa, I guess this last 3 years of my life didn't work out so well. Guess we'll plan a cruise. Maybe abandonment from the Father. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But friends, it wasn't abandonment. That's not his perspective. Because on the cross, Jesus said, he says it with trust, "Into thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit." So it wasn't abandonment. Was it anger? He lived the perfect life. We didn't. He's up there because of us. Maybe Jesus is angry with the blood, sweat, and tears, but it's not that either. Because it says, it didn't say in our reading here tonight, but on the cross, Jesus says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's not anger, it's not abandonment. The Son's perspective is love. He would once say, Jesus would once say, there's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for another. Jesus' view of the cross and what he was doing was, this was his ultimate statement of his love for you. No anger. Jesus loves you very much. So there's the two perspectives. Father, remember, Father is satisfaction. Jesus' perspective is a great act of love. But that leads us to the third perspective. Remember what I said at the very beginning? The third perspective is maybe the most important because it kind of looks at everything from an outside perspective, and then it delivers the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Many of you know that I have three kids right now. Actually, that's all we'll have, is three kids. We have an 8-year-old, we have a 6-year-old, and we have a 1-year-old. Life is great in our household. The 8-year-old and the 6-year-old, Kaya and Claire, and I'm going to talk about them tonight because they're not here. So this is, you know, hopefully it's not getting recorded. The 8-year-old and the 6-year-old are very much alike. And they are like this on everything. Battle, battle. You know, I got it. You got it. You know, I'm better. No, I'm better. This is what our days are like. So one of the conversations just recently was one of them, we have blow-ups all the time in our house between our oldest two daughters. They will, one of them will come in, run to me and say, "Dad, she took my book and I can't do my homework." And so I hear the first perspective. Then I wait about 5 minutes and the other one comes in and I get the second perspective. And her perspective is, "Well, she didn't sit by me in the bus and didn't play with me on the playground." Now, I got to tell you, as a parent, I'm struggling because I don't know which perspective to believe. This is why we have a third child. Now, at 1 year old, he can't say anything, but you see, in about 2 or 3 years, he's going to break the tie. And he can just take it all in from, and it's a boy, so he can just take it in all that he sees from his sisters. He can observe everything, and pretty soon he can just come right in and he can deliver the truth. What's that? Mess everything up. Well, friends, what's that? Yeah. This is what I think the Holy Spirit does with the death, with the crucifixion of Jesus. So we got the Father and Son's perspective, but see, someone had to deliver it to you. Why are you here? Why are you a Jesus follower? None of you were there 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit was given to observe this, to take it all in. And then when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit was the gift to the church, and the Holy Spirit is that third one that comes and just delivers the truth. Who was it that delivered this truth to you tonight in your life? Was it a person? Anyone can share. Maybe it was a grandfather. Maybe took your hand and drug you to VBS or something. I don't know. Who was it?
My daughter.
Your daughter. Okay, your daughter, somehow she introduced you to Jesus somehow.
She wouldn't go to church in the Bible.
Okay. So she dragged you to church and she got you there. Yeah. Maybe it was a crisis. Maybe the Holy Spirit used a crisis in your life to draw you back into the church. Or maybe it was just a hunch, you just something inside of you. Whatever it was, the Holy Spirit went to work. And see, the Holy Spirit has given you the truth. This third perspective has delivered it to you tonight. So one thing we want to do this Lent is say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for going to work. I know that God is satisfied, and I know that Jesus loves me, and I know the heart of God. The Holy Spirit has worked, and the Holy Spirit has delivered." You're not here by accident. Something that happened 2,000 years ago has extreme significance for you. And the Holy Spirit's the one that has brought it to you. But here's the twist I want to leave you with here tonight. Maybe this Lent, you're not the destination of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, what I mean by that is this. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to use you as a vessel to reach somebody else. Maybe you're the grandfather that sends a grandson to VBS this summer. Maybe you're a neighbor that introduces someone to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Or maybe someone's walking around. Is anyone, Keith, do you recognize her? Keith's got it. We're good. He'll help her out. We'll pray for her if she needs it. Whatever the case is, what I want you to think about is maybe you're not the destination this Lent of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you are. That's great. But maybe the Holy Spirit's going to use you to be a vessel to somebody else, to speak that truth, to bring somebody else into the beautiful picture of what the crucifixion of Jesus means. So let's think about that this year. How can you use me, Lord, as a vessel? And thank you for the three perspectives that you give. Let's pray about that, and then we'll close our worship service out with prayer. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunities you place in front of us to receive the good news of Jesus. We thank you for our church, Emmanuel, for that blessing it is to sing songs and hear messages and readings about Jesus and what it means for us, your love for us. But Lord, this Lent, we pray that we would be open to being a vessel, to being someone that the Holy Spirit might use to reach somebody else. Lord, tonight we pray for that somebody else that doesn't know about what happened 2,000 years ago. Maybe it was the lady that just walked into our church, Lord. Or maybe it's someone that's hurting, that's a neighbor, or maybe someone going through a crisis at our workplace. Lord, help us to be that vessel so the Holy Spirit can do its work and draw people to Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.